This is the Not Safe for Work podcast, produced by World at Work and hosted by Charles Epstein, Workspans and Hashtag Evolve's NSFW columnist and co-host of Work in Progress. Now, here's Charles.
Welcome, and thanks for stopping by. Today's pod is a riff on an NSFW column I did called Company Culture, How to Stop It Before It Spreads. Now, let me quickly say I'm not looking to go all contrarian on company culture. Culture is a good and important thing, particularly these days with the workforce spread out and stretched so thin. What the column refers to is inauthentic culture, something that's cooked up by company leadership that doesn't survive first contact with reality, or by an outside consultant who parachutes in and after a month's time distills it into its purest powdered form. Actually, the first time I ever heard the term company culture was when I met such a consultant who, for purposes of this conversation, we'll call Author. It was also the first time I heard the term brain dump, thanks again to Author, which for some time after made me flinch whenever the topic of company culture came up. It would take me several years to overcome the conditioned reflex and see more clearly how an authentic lived culture is the glue that binds healthy companies together. Years ago, I arrived early for a 7:30 a.m. meeting with the CEO of an IT training company, an author, who I'd never met, to discuss developing and promoting a new course to foster people skills for IT professionals lacking those skills. The office was closed at that hour, so I stood outside waiting when in pulled a swank white Jag, from which emerged an immaculately coiffed head of gray hair and a crisp pinstriped suit. Author got out, theatrically shot his French cuffs, gathered himself, and walked towards me. We chatted for several minutes before the CEO arrived and led us to his office. Author had a rep for helping companies discover their identity via his patented six-step process. His shtick was to live at a company for a month and immerse himself in their culture, after which he distilled the company's essence into five brilliant bullets, each a gem so finely cut they could all fit on a refrigerator magnet. A large refrigerator magnet, but still. We took our seats, and just as the CEO was about to make the formal introductions, Author shot up his hand like Zubin Mehta, abruptly silencing the brass section, sharply turned to face me to demand assurance that if he's going to give me the benefit of his pending quote-unquote brain dump, that I won't take his ideas on company culture, how to define it, create it, and serve it up like a rare Fabergé egg, and package them as my own. Ideas, of course, he spent his career honing into an exact science. Apparently, in the 5 or so minutes we spent waiting for the CEO to arrive, I'd unknowingly stumbled on several of his patented ideas. I knew Author's rep had a general idea of what he did, but didn't take the time to speed read his books, watch his videos, or put a tail on him. But I did spend about 3 minutes on his website, which was all the time I needed to get the drift. Nothing he spouted was new, it was just a collection of snappy phrases that he slapped the TM onto. Whether they were legitimately trademarked, I hadn't a clue. As I said, this is the first time I heard someone actually mention company culture, at least outside the hermetically sealed world of a business magazine. And it was certainly the first time I heard of someone basing a business on helping companies find it. Since my Author encounter, I'd been enlisted several times to help companies write their mission statement, which is essentially a way of codifying their culture. Frankly, it's not a particularly creative exercise, as all companies inevitably arrive at the same place. I've yet to meet one that doesn't want to be ethical, collaborative, transparent, or fun, including many companies I've known and worked for, most of which were conspicuously none of the above. I started by drawing the distinction between authentic and inauthentic company culture, and apologies for veering into my personal history with Author, though I have to say he does represent a certain breed, and I enjoyed having the opportunity to document the experience. But I do think it helped personify the inauthenticity that results from a process that's not fully integrated into the fabric of the company. I'm not saying you shouldn't trust immaculately coiffed consultants in expensive threads pulling up in a sweet ride, but I would be suspicious of anyone who reduced a month's work to a refrigerator magnet. On my next pod, I'll talk about my NSFW column, Making Peace with Artificial Intelligence. At some point, just about every one of us, from the factory worker to the radiologist to someone attempting to scratch out a monthly humor column on HR topics, will be written out of a job by clever programmers who've managed to wrestle reams of data into something approaching sentience, aka an entity capable of doing what you do, but better, more consistently, longer, without fail or complaint, and cheaper. We can either fight a losing battle or gradually make peace with the inevitable. On my next pod, I'll discuss the stages of acceptance. So that slams the lid on another NSFW podcast. If you like what you heard, by all means, spread the word. Join me next week for a brand new pod. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
This was the Not Safe for Work podcast, hosted by Charles Epstein, WorkSpans and hashtag Evolve's NSFW columnist. This podcast was produced by World at Work, a leading global organization for professionals who are engaged in the critically important practice of total rewards.